AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, I'm Anissa Ferreira.
And I am Davon Rogers, and this is MTV's official challenge podcast.
The Challenge World Championship is finally here.
Woo! I'm so excited.
I'm excited too. This qualifier seems nasty. I don't want to drink it. I don't want to eat it. I don't want to run around the stadium.
Musty.
It was a lot of stuff.
It's musty for sure. I love it because it gives the MVPs an opportunity to show the legends, like, you here, but we're here too. Like, so
right.
Just know we earned our way to be able to get here. I thought it was so dope, and I thought it was so cool how it played out. Absolutely.
Me too.
So this season, we have a brand new segment for you guys. This is the World Championship. So we're going to be discussing the king or queen of the world and also who was on another planet. Mm-hmm. Anissa, this episode number one, coming in hot.
Right.
Who was your king or queen of the world for this episode?
I mean, Kiki went in there and said, all right, and just fucked it up. I mean, she was angry. She did the leg thing. I love it. And she looks like, I love when they look like all pretty and done up. And then they go in there and they shut shit down.
She sure did. I wasn't mad at all. I was super impressed. Shout out to Kiki.
Yeah. And shout out to Claudia for putting up a fight.
She sure did. Mm-hmm. And you know what? She had such good sportsmanship.
Yeah.
Like, it
We're
wasn't
not used
like,
to that.
It was like, all right, I'm out.
It wasn't like, nasty. Yeah. She was like, see you guys. It was an amazing experience. Like,
yes.
Who was on another planet, though?
Obviously the legends were on another planet. Literally, they were off to the side during this qualifier, not participating.
No, just cheering people on.
Didn't have
watching.
To do anything. But, you know, I don't even think I can say that because they did. They cheered for everybody. Like, mm-hmm. I've never seen them cheer like that in a main show ever during
right. They don't give a shit about us. But you bring us some
like,
new people on
new people
the championship.
In.
They're cheering in Dickie suits. I know they were hot as shit out there. Anywho, today, I can't wait any longer. We have an interview with one of the winners from this episode. Mr. Grant Crapp will be with us to kick off our first interview for the World Championship.
Yes, so excited to do this interview with Sir Grant Crapp. But before we get into it, don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break. Come back.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Today, we have the winner.
The winner
of the first challenge. And I guess used to be lover boy on a dating show once upon a time, Mr. Grant Crapp.
Woo! G'day, everyone. Thank you for having me. The Aussie Stallion.
Oh, wow. Is that okay? Self-proclaimed?
Self-proclaimed. Yeah, I'm a married man now. So I was once a lover boy winning the first Love Island Australia, but now I'm a good boy. I'm a father of two. So you could say I'm probably getting used to the dad bod.
You don't even have one. That's one
no,
thing.
No, I definitely
and two,
do.
Thank Didn't you just have another baby?
Yeah, just recently, Levi was born into the world about nearly 5 weeks as of 5 weeks as of today.
Levi.
He's been so good. He's my daughter Charlie. She's adjusted to it, thankfully, and we've had our ups and downs, but as long as they're healthy, that's all that matters, you know.
Yeah, but they are adorable. I actually was doing a little bit of what we call research last night.
Stalking.
And I was like, oh, there's some
you.
Cute kids.
Congratulations to you and your wife.
Babies, I love kids. They're good.
So how was it leaving your first child? Because your second child hadn't been born yet. So how was it leaving your first child? You get the call about going to do the world championship. Are you like, all right, child, I'm out? Or are you like, oh, my baby?
No, look, it was very exciting. I got the call to go, you know. I was over the moon. I was like, I got this opportunity. But, like, when I was doing the Challenge Australia, Charlie was only very young. And over there, when I had the FaceTime call back to home, my daughter, she ended up getting a hand, foot, mouth. I'm sure if you guys are familiar with hand, foot, mouth with kids. Yeah, so it was very, very difficult to see that my partner, Lucy, was struggling with it. But you know, I was very, very excited. I was keen to go to represent Australia, but at the same time, leaving my family is very, very hard thing to do. Very hard.
Yeah. Well, shout out to your amazing wife for holding it down.
Shout out to my girl,
mom.
Lucy.
Yes, shout out to you, Lucy. Happy, shout out to you. So you want to tell us a little bit about your background, a little bit about the Love Island, how the lover boy came about before you turned into the husband stallion? We would like to know about that.
Daddy Stallion. No, that doesn't work.
No, that definitely doesn't work.
Yeah, sorry. I'll work on it. Give me time, right. Grant. We just met.
Yeah, so my name's Grant Crapp. Obviously, my last name is one of those, you know, it's obviously a crap last name, if you get me. I wouldn't say it's unfortunate because everyone remembers my last name, but yeah, crap like you're going to the toilet is basically how I explain it. If I, you know what, ladies, if I could have a share in toilets, I would. I'd be loaded because I have the last name. But yeah, my first introduction to reality TV was Love Island Australia in the first season. Won that with another lady. So yeah, that was full on. And from there, I had a few years off. I just went back and started. I'm a builder in Australia here. So I do all sorts of fancy renovations in bathrooms throughout the houses and everything. And then, yeah, so that's my passion. That's what I absolutely love doing. I love using my hands. Absolutely love using my hands. I like to get a bit dirty.
Oh.
Yeah, you know.
I love that.
Well, that explains how you ended up here on the challenge, okay?
Right.
Oh, God, yeah. The challenge is right up my alley. But then, yeah, I got a phone call one day, and then, yeah, it just rolled on to the Challenge Australia, and look where I'm at, you know?
Wow. So tell us a little bit about Team Australia.
I think Team Australia is the team to beat. We've got an Olympic champion in Emily Seabom, and she's one of my homegirls, you know? She's such a lovely... lovely girl. We've got each other's back, especially in the game. We've got Troy boy, T-Roy. He's a little weapon, as most people would know if you watch the Challenge Australia. He's one of those guys that just, he's an all-rounder. He's basically good at everything.
Is he the one that did Ninja Warrior?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
He's
Troy,
good.
Yeah, he's very, like, I believe he should be very respected in the game. He's just, he understands it well. And then you've got Kiki, and Kiki is just a ball of energy. Far out. Like, and, well, you know, the funny thing about Kiki is what a lot of people don't know is she's actually very, very intelligent. Very intelligent. I didn't believe it. Trust me. When I first met her, I was like, this girl can't have like 2 cents in her head, but geez, she's smart. Oh my God.
You can tell. You can tell she, when she got her mind into it with this elimination, I'm jumping ahead, but you can tell she got in there with the strategic part of it for sure.
Oh, mate. Very, very smart. Kiki's very smart. So, like, if you look at it from the outside, our team on paper, you know, we've got the strengths, we've got the endurance, and we've got the smarts. So, like, Team Australia would have to be the team to beat, I reckon.
I want to know more about this qualifier, though.
Mm.
Because there's not a big introduction about like what you're about to eat. I need to know what you drank and what you ate, or was there like a block of cheese in the middle? Like, I need to know what that was. Thank you.
Oh my God. I'm sorry if you can't swear, but fuck me.
no, we do it all.
It sounds different with your accent actually. So
yeah,
go ahead.
Fuck. It was terrible. Whatever it was. So we rocked up on these podiums and these two drinks, and God, you could smell it from 100 miles away. Hey, like, it was that pongy. And one drink was this green smoothie, and it had, I don't even know, it's like had dog's balls chopped up in with dog shit and off cheese. Mate, and then, you know what? Some people said it was really yummy. Mate, as soon as I smelled it, I was like gagging, you know?
Yeah, it looked like there was like a blue cheese of sorts in there.
Yeah, I don't know, mate. I couldn't tell. I tried to find out actually what was in it, but we didn't know. And then there was another drink that looked like a curdled off milk mixed with, you know, rice bubbles. You have rice bubbles over there?
Like bubble tea?
It's like a cereal that looks like little bubbles. It's like white. Anyhow, it's disgusting.
Nah.
It was like all blended up with like Wheat Bix, and it was disgusting.
Did you have to eat anything, or were there just two
drinks?
Yeah,
and then we had these sayos, and that was like a severed layer sayo with wasabi in between each layer, right?
Wait, what was it?
Sayo, the biscuits, right?
Ah, biscuits. So, Let me
paint a picture for you. You're sitting at your kitchen bench, and you got two smoothies either side. In the middle, you've got seven layers of those sayo. So they're a biscuit. They're like a crisp biscuit, right? In between each layer, you have a smear of wasabi.
I'm not talking
like a little smear. I'm talking like a massive smear of wasabi. I'm telling you, there was some nasty smells going around.
How long did it take you to finish?
To finish the drinks?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. I reckon I would have nearly knocked it off in about 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah,
you were
mind you, I was doing a lot of spewing and re-eating. Or as soon as I took my first sip, man, I was gagging. Like, and I remember seeing either side of me, Ben from the USA, the dude that wears the cowboy hat.
He vomited
he was
so badly.
Like full-on projectile spewing. I reckon he would have spewed 2 or 3 meters in front of him. And then he just kept motoring. I was like, wow, that dude's impressive.
Wow.
Yeah, he was really going.
He was hooking.
Do you think it was fair that the legends got to sit out and watch you guys compete, or do you think they should have been down there in the ground too?
Look, I don't know much about the dudes, but I think coming into the competition and going against, obviously, the MVPs, I thought it was okay. Like, those guys obviously been doing it respect. They've been doing it for years and years and years, so they've had happened to eat shit countless of times. You know what I mean? They've had all sorts of shit. So for them to sit back and, you know, get a gauge on us, I think it was fair. Some people say otherwise, but I thought it was okay. I wasn't too fussed up about it.
Was it intimidating having them watch, like, stare you guys down as it was going, like, basically scout you guys out?
Fuck no, I don't think. I think they can watch what I can do, you know. So if anything, you'd be sitting there. If you're a true competitor, you'd be scratching your balls to try and get in there and have a crack, you know.
You said
I want to know who said
yes.
Yeah.
You said other people said otherwise. Who said otherwise?
Oh, I think I heard a lot from the UKs, from all the Poms. A few of the girls, like Zaza, I think she said a little bit. But mind you, Zaza, she can carry her weight. She goes good.
She really can. Yeah.
Gosh, unbelievable, that girl. you know, for Ring and Wet.
She's a tiny little thing.
She's like, Ring and Wet, you know. Yeah, she's just strong. Yeah, I can't. There's definitely a few. I think a few of the other Americans probably would have said the same thing. But yeah, look, it is what it is, mate. They've done it for so long. And yeah, due respect, and they can watch us eat shit parts.
How long would you say the entire day was? Like, with all the checkpoints, how long do you think that was?
Oh, God. I reckon that was this 5 or 6 hour stint. So after you ate and did all that stuff, you have to do a lap of the stadium. So as you can imagine running on a full gut full of stuff that you don't want to eat, you know?
Yeah, and you smell it the whole time you run. It, mate. You're burping smell it up.
Yeah, you know what's up.
Oh, my goodness.
It's pretty bad. So you run the lap, and then you guys have to go to the wheelie checkpoint thing, right?
Yep.
So you got the tire.
Yeah, so we do the first lap, and we go to the tires. Now, the tires were the heaviest things known to man. And I lift concrete bags on the reg, and we had tires on this like a platform, right? That was, you know, just a timber platform, so to speak, that had like a red line at the end. We had a sledgehammer. We had to hit this tire to this red line. So if you imagine us, all that shit stuck in our guts, and you got to try and physically hit this thing, it would be about...
Yeah, it looked horrible.
Like 10
and
meters.
They looked like they weren't moving at all.
At all.
Mate, I wanted to pick it up. I wanted to pick it up, push it, like hitting it with the sledgehammer. Like, I remember I got there second, and by the time I was getting it to halfway, everyone was there, you know. So as you can imagine, the adrenaline was pumping, and you're like, holy shit, like everyone's caught up. But, you know, people are hitting and it's only moving yay big every time. Right. So it was a nightmare.
Some of the legends were speculating, and they were saying that the weight of the tires were equivalent to each person's body weight. Is that true or false? Do you feel it was that heavy, or how heavy do you think it was?
No, I think it'd have to be nearly more than that. Like, I swear, you know, you can move your own body weight pretty well, but I think a lot of the friction of the tire on the timber board, do you know what I mean? Like the rubber. Like, it's gripping when you're hitting it. Like, you know, actually, let me tell you on a little secret. I saw Ben do it. Smart, smart bugger, Ben, you are. The sand. When he was hitting he was hitting his tire and it busted up. Well, it might have been Troy. I can't remember. I do remember Ben kicking the sand in front of the tire. Right? In front of the tire. Oh. So when you're hitting it, it was sort of getting that little bit of a movement because the sand was underneath the edge of the tire. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It made it a little slippery.
So, like, in the challenge, there's things where opportunities like that can happen. You got to think outside of the box sometimes. But, like, that was just one of those moments, you know, where you go, oh, you smart fella.
Throughout this process, as far as the other MVPs, who was your biggest competition? Ben or somebody? Was there someone else you had your eyes on?
Throughout the competition, I think Danny would be one.
Okay.
Definitely. The fella from the US side. He was... You know, I think he's an all-rounder. I really like Danny. He's a good fellow. But I think he was a competition threat massively. I also agree with Troy. Mm-hmm. Troy was, Troy's like a sleeping weapon that people underestimate because he's only a short fella. You know, Nathan wowed me in that competition. He was fit, like, from someone who drinks piss on the rag, you know, to get out there and just absolutely carve up, like, he was unbelievable. Sorry, drinks
alcohol regularly.
Thank you. I was like, what's happening?
Yeah. So, he doesn't drink piss.
Yeah, no, he drinks alcohol, yeah.
I do want to know, so you get to South Africa, beautiful South Africa, and
love
you
it.
Show up
love
to
it.
This amazing Cape house. What is Cape your first Town. Thoughts when you walk in the house?
Oh, mate, this house was a dream. It was like, you know, had a swimming pool, like three swimming pools, had a slide. We had like a cinema, which obviously we couldn't use. It had a downstairs like games area, mate. Like, I'm talking from a builder's perspective. This was like a builder's dream.
Wow.
Best house I've ever been into, hands down. I reckon the house, if we're talking US dollars, I reckon it have to be at least 15 or 10 million US dollars in this joint. When you're up there, you're looking over the whole of Cape Town. Like, I kid you not. You know, you think like a famous actor would have owned this house. It was just fantastic. And, you know, it had about 30 beds, so it was like a massive sleepover.
Wow.
But it was sick.
Big old slumber party.
Yeah, we're used to those twin beds, unfortunately.
Look, I don't, you know, a typical challenge thing, everyone runs in and puts their bags down, this and I don't care, man. I end up sleeping out in the hallway, you know. I'm used to it. Coming from Australia, you can sort of sleep on the ground anyway, you know.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, I was in a hallway, you know, like, because everyone gets private rooms. All the rooms had most of them had en suites with little bathrooms, right? I ended up camping out with Emily in the hallway down the on the ground floor. So I was like, yeah, shit, but it's all right.
You know what? The house seemed extremely friendly. This was after the first daily, after you and Zara won. The house seemed extremely friendly as you guys were getting to know each other so you can ultimately pick your partners, right? How was that time period? Basically the calm before the storm. How was that time period?
That is the best way to describe that, the calm before the storm. I don't know, like, I felt like it was very, like, fake and surreal because, you know, you're in there, it's a competition and everyone's buddies with everyone, you know, yapping about, you know, life back at home and different cultures. Obviously, we've got Argentinians in there and stuff, so everyone was just blended in. It's just, it feels very crazy that everyone's giving you that time before it really starts to knuckle down.
Yeah.
You know, winning the first challenge, it, you know, I got to essentially meet everyone. So there was speculation between boys are going to be partnering up with boys and girls will be with girls. And it was back and forth. And as you can imagine, there's just everyone's pitching these crazy ideas.
Yeah.
Of course.
Who were you eyeing? Like, which legend were you eyeing? Girl or guy?
All right. So winning, you felt like you got the biggest hammer in the house. You know, everyone's after you. Everyone's like, oh, I want a piece of Grant. I want a piece of Grant, you know. So I sort of was sitting there, sitting back, and everyone was coming up to me. I had Kellyanne. I was having a yarn to Amber. I had John A. have a chat to me. I had Jody. You know, I had all these girls come have a yarn. But one bloke that I was, because this whisper of a boys with boys were going to partner, one bloke that I was really wanted to get to know was Wes, this bloke. Now he's got a ginger beard, a redhead fella. He was a very interesting bloke. And I got to know him, and he was, you know, he gave me the whisper and said, "Mate, if you get to pick, you're gonna pick me."
Oh, so I was of like, course righto. He did.
Yeah, I was like, "Righto, mate, I'll pick you." Like, I not knowing much about him, I got clued up from Troy. He said, "You know, you got to watch out on that fella," but working with him would be good, but. In regards to the ladies, like the women, to if we're going to choose girls, I was sort of up in the air about it all, to be honest with you.
Really? No, no.
Yeah,
not
I was,
one
yeah.
of the challenge women stood out. The legends stood out to you?
Look. Casey was the first one. Reason why I'd say Casey is because everyone says that she's got real determination and grit and just does not give up. So I was umming around about Casey for a while. And then there was Amber as well because she apparently won one. She was coming off as like a rookie winning one. And then there was John A.
Yeah.
John A won two All-Stars. And I was like, like, you know, I felt grateful because I had all these people. Like if the opportunity was to pick someone, you know, I have a few to choose from. But, yeah, it was one of those ones where I was like a kid in a candy shop. I was like, who can I choose? You know, I want to make sure I choose the right one because I could be stuck with them throughout.
So what was your first impression of Wes? I know you said he's someone you wanted to be partnered with, but what was it about him that made you say, you know what, this is it?
I don't know. The fella's very smooth, and I get that snaky vibe from Wes. Like, I could read him like a book, and he's trying to
baby me
through the game, you know? I respect that he's done a lot in the game, and he was trying to explain things to me and, you know, break it all down. And I thought in my own head, I was thinking, if I can get this fella on my side, it'd probably be a good thing because why would he try and screw himself up if I'm with him? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That Bananas fella, oh, I didn't really want to bar with. I think he's just a bit of a Peter Pan dude. I think that dude's like.
Did you say Peter
Pan?
How
old is he? He'd have to
be
what, mid-40s, 50, wouldn't he? Far out, mate. I was looking at him and I'm like.
I
said to Troy, I was like, dude, like, I know this guy's probably one of the better ones, but far out. Like, I don't know if he's had too much Botox. He's trying to relive, like, this single bachelor life. Like, that's what I get from that guy, you know?
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
I can't. Oh, I almost fell out of a fucking stool. Hold on.
Did you think the two of you would clash, or did you see him, or were you intimidated by him?
Oh, no, fuck you, mate. Like, he's, he tries to rule the roost and everything, you know, that dude. I haven't got time for him.
Ooh-wee.
You know? I was calling him Grandpa Bananas.
Everyone has their own opinion of people. And what I do like, and this is no shade to Johnny, but like when new cast members, that's why I love Spies, Lies, and Allies. All these kids came from all over the world. Yeah. And it was just like fresh eyes on an old game. And I've been playing this for 20 years. Mm. So it's like, I know all of these people already. I've played with all of them. Yeah. We've been at odds. We've been best friends. We've been on different teams, the same team, whatever. But it's always interesting that it can take some of us a decade to figure out what these people are like. And you guys come on, you're like, in 2 seconds, you're like, yeah, well, he's a snake.
Oh, like, just, mate, the way
it's
that
just,
what I look at Johnny Bananas is everyone tries to live in Johnny Bananas' world, and like that just doesn't go down with me. I think the dude, like, he's played the game for so long. He's like they should like wheel him out in a retirement village for the challenge now, you know? Like, let's get the fresh blood in there. Like, never gets in eliminations as far as I know, and everyone's intimidated by this guy. I'm like, far out, mate. Like,
do you think that you could take Johnny Bananas in a hall brawl?
Fuck yes. Put me in there against you in a hall brawl. Put me in there.
Okay.
I love all the confidence.
The hall brawl, man, I wish like we had that in the Australian one, you know? I never got to choose. I come from a rugby league background, so mm-hmm. I enjoy the collision.
Oh, so you're fucking people up.
I enjoy the collision. I wouldn't say I'm a very smart fella, but I don't mind doing the real brawls, you know?
Let me put my hands
up. I love rugby. Is so fun. Oh, yeah. We played in South Africa. It was great.
Yeah.
No, we didn't play in South Africa. We played in, oh no, we did. Did we play? We played in New Zealand.
Did you go rock?
I was taking girls out by their necks because I didn't know you could do that, because it's very different than football.
Yeah, nice.
So I could do just the passing, the passing hanger. And the placing down. The were very hanger. Different, huh?
The coat hangers were taken up by their neck.
Yes, yes. I was putting everybody on a fucking hanger. All of them.
Yeah, get them. Get them.
Okay, so before we go any further, we need to take a quick break, but we'll be right back after this.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
How does this challenge, the World Championship, how does it compare to the Challenge Australia? Do you think one is tougher than the other, or how did they compare?
Definitely the Challenge World Championship was tougher in all aspects. Probably more importantly, in the political part. Like, I got in there and, you know, let's say after the first challenge I won, the qualifier, the way people scramble, right? I've never seen people scramble and make bullshit up in my life. Like, and like, I've been on Love Island and all that, and there's a lot of bullshit there, but Jesus, people run for the hills and they make up all stuff and people go in turning to themselves and there's lies and stuff being said. And I'm like, holy shit, man, this is like a madhouse.
It you is, know? Like that.
And people coming to me and I said, man, I haven't heard it with my own ears, so I don't care. I mean, you know, I remember having this conversation. This is a shout out to Darrell. Darrell came to me and goes, oh, mate, you're going to put me in. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, are you going to put me in? I'm like, no. He goes, oh, I just heard from someone that you're going to stick me in there. Like, I heard a thing. I think he heard it from, I think he heard it from Tristan. I'm like, no, I'm not going to put you in. He was full stressing, man. Like, it's just panic.
He gets really stressed, though. Darrell gets really stressed. Oh, bless his heart.
Stressed, yeah. Nah, he's a good fellow, Darrell. Very good fellow. I like him.
Did you think that, because we're only on episode one and we've only conquered the first daily and the first elimination. Did you think it was going to turn so quickly, so fast? Like, I mean, the heat came very fast with this nomination ceremony.
And then Kiki's in there with Cass.
With Cass, yeah, right.
I actually did not expect that. That was 100 miles an hour. Like, that was really an eye-opening thing. And I was talking to, I think I was actually talking to Kellyanne, and she's like, she goes to me, this is the game, you know, like this is exactly what happens. And it can go really, really quick and be intense.
Right.
And from that point on, I sort of was expecting that, you know what I mean? Mm. Like as soon as it comes to nominations to go in, like I could really feel as though the house is like walking on eggshells, you know, people sucking up bums and, you know, just doing weird odd things. Like you get people walking the corridors and trying to listen in. Looking at it now, I really, really enjoyed it. It was just funny to see because people go and do some weird shit, you know?
Yeah. Give us some of those weird examples that were happening.
So you'd always get someone like, we were, I don't know how much I can explain into it, but when I was with Danny and Sarah and like Emily, we'd be talking game and you always get someone like Wes would walk past up the corridor and then you'd get like, Kaz walking around and, you know, Kellyanne be sniffing around right around the door entry, like as clear as day, you know. And then someone would be like, you know, you go out in the living room, for example. I remember going in the living room clear as day and Jordan would be sitting there with a few of the other people and be talking and all of a sudden it'd be silent and you just keep walking. You know, at one point I'm like, g'day guys, what's everyone up to? You know, and I know they're talking about me. But, it's just like, it's almost like high school, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. It's a very unnatural environment. Like, there's no other place like it. But it is so amazing at the same time.
Oh, it is. You got to try and separate, you know, the personal feelings with it being the game as well. A lot of people got really emotional and felt like it was very personal.
Yeah.
I think once you let that get that personal feeling, you've lost, you know?
Yeah. How do you think you were able to stay grounded without taking things personally?
I'm sort of one of those blokes. I prefer, you know, if someone comes and said it to my face, we could sort it out then and there. That's how I like it. So I wouldn't say I was very grounded most of the time because my name was thrown around heaps and it started to get under my skin and you go and talk to someone and all of a sudden they don't want to talk about it. So like I started to get a little bit annoyed. But look, you can't really do too much. It's one of those things that like, if someone wants to talk to you about, they can. And or you'd go and chat to someone that changed the whole conversation. So I don't know. It's pretty hectic.
Do you believe that you have a social game? Did you try to play a social game or were you just like, I'm just here to win some stuff? Like, I don't have to talk to y'all. I just want to play.
Oh, I 100% I was there to fucking win. Like, I wanted to win for sure. But the social game is so important and I was trying to, I've had a feel around for the cliques and stuff, and I really got along with a few people. Like Danny, he's such a legend, that bloke. I really like him. I got along with Sarah, who won the American one as well.
Yeah.
And I felt as though I could trust. I really liked Ben until there was a situation. I'm not sure if I can explain that yet.
No, we're going to wait for that situation.
We're going to wait for that, but I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, we'll put like, that in our notes now to look for it.
Yeah, I hope they play it. Anyhow, I liked Ben until that happened. We'll talk about that another day. But yeah, it was the social game is very important for people who just play the game. I think and just go, oh, yeah, it is what it is, and this and that. They're the ones who just get booted pretty quick, you know.
The challenge is such a well-known, legendary, iconic show, right? So before you came over here to do the World Championship, how much research did you do? Like, did you study the challengers, or were you like, if this person's here, I'm going for this person? Like, how did that go?
Well, you know, with another child on the way, and anyone who obviously has children, I was very busy building. Like, that's my career, being a builder, and I didn't really have much time. When I had a bit of downtime, I'd watch a lot of the highlights. So I had a gauge on a few people. I didn't look right into their backgrounds. But at the end of the day, right, ladies, the challenge is such a good game, because it doesn't matter your fitness level. It doesn't matter your mental level, like your, that sort of part of it. It's so even, and there's always equalizers. Like, you can put the best sprinter like Theo. Theo's fast as shit, right? Real quick fella. You put the best sprinter, and we might have to do like a puzzle halfway up it, and all of a sudden he's stuck, and the slowest person will get to the puzzle, do the puzzle, and keep moving, you know. So regardless of who rocks up in this game, it's the game can even out to anyone.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
mind you, there's a lot of physical things, like you're a hall brawl, so you got to run over the top of people, and like there's the balls in, like there's a lot of other physical things, but yeah, balls. Most things that it's just, the game's amazing, mate. It's such a good game, and I wish it really exploded in Australia, because it's an unreal concept of a TV show, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to know, I mean, you won the first one with Zara. Do you feel like now you have a target on your back? Do you feel like people are going to come for you? I mean, because this episode ends with, you know, we're at elimination, Kiki wins, and now you guys have to pick. But then it goes to like a to be continued situation. Yeah. So we don't know what's going to happen, but do you feel like winning the first challenge is going to help you or hurt you?
I think winning the first challenge is definitely going to hurt me, because it gives, especially the legends, just that little bit of insight to say, because the qualifier had all the aspects of the challenge, you know, had everything it covered, all bases covered. And, you know, straight away, I think I got a massive target on my back. I can sort of feel eyes burning in the back of my head, you know. So it's sort of like, it's bittersweet. That's why, you know, winning the game, winning the challenges can really be like a double-edged sword, so to speak. You know? Then if you throw someone in, all of a sudden they're coming for you. And, you know, the nature of the game, you got to put someone in.
Yeah, but if you keep winning.
Yeah, I mean, if you keep winning,
nice
you're
to,
right.
It's nice to be in power a lot.
100%, yeah, I agree.
You said you felt eyes burning in the back of your head staring you down, right? Which challengers do you think were the most intimidated by you?
Oh, shit, good question. I wouldn't know, but I felt as though that that Bananas fellow didn't like the limelight to be on me, so suck shit to him. But but yeah, I think most of the lads, they're all want to be in the limelight. So I'd say yeah, pretty much all of them were wanting to win.
They wanted to be the Stallion.
They wanted to be the Aussie, yeah. Do you ladies find my? Do you find it hard to understand my accent? Was it all right?
No, I can understand you. There are just words that it's just. Ankle biters just
that
killed
took me out,
and then that took me out too, because I was like, oh my god, yes, we literally, your call dropped when you first came on, and we're like, okay, waiting for Grant, he'll be here at some point.
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, these little ankle biters, and I was like, I'm looking at Davon, I'm like, does he have pets, or is he talking about his kids? I'm like, oh my god, I don't know.
Yes, for those of you listening, we had no idea that there was a difference out here in America. Ankle biters for us are dogs.
The tiny dogs.
Little puppies.
Oh, there you go.
But for him,
they can't reach anywhere but the ankle.
Right. For him, it means the children. The children are the ankle biters.
Just crawling around.
Yeah, they're out there. My kids, especially my little one, my little toddler, mate, Charlie, she comes at me whenever I can. She's always trying to grab at daddy. So ankle biters.
Ah.
How
so
proud
of you. It's a few different terms.
How proud of Kiki are you when she wins the elimination?
Yes.
How proud are you?
Oh, look, I was really proud of Kiki. I think I was really, really impressed with Kiki and proud of her for that pole wrestle. Like, Kiki's got a bung back.
Yeah.
And for her to go in there and give it a crack, mate, that was pretty impressive. You know, I remember chatting to her before she went in, and I was like, you know, you can do it. You'll be right. And she was like, Grant, I can't. My back's busted like this and that. I don't know if I can do it, you know. And then she's had a bit of a rev up. She just went and gave it all, and she blitzed it. So, you know, all of us Aussies stand up there. We're all really proud of her, because obviously it's a number in the game, and it's someone to, you know, and we know her personally. So, no, I was really proud of her.
You know what? You were very firm about not backing down from your vote. You were not backing down, not budging. Were you prepared to go into elimination if possible?
Yeah, like, if I had to, at that point of the game, you know, it was early days, like, I made it very clear. I said to Zaza, and mate, she didn't want to budge as well. I was like, I'm picking this. This is what it is. And then, like, yeah, so I was not backing down, and Zaza was not backing down either. We were locking horns flat out. Like, we just couldn't come to a decision. And there was that TJ announced there was a tiebreaker, and then obviously Kiki had to go in. So,
yeah,
you know, if I had to go into the elimination, I would have come in the Australian. I went in there five times.
Yeah.
Four or five times. Yeah. Like, I went pretty hard in there, and I know what it's like. Elimination sucks.
Damn. They were after you.
Oh, shit. My God.
Welcome to the eliminations.
Like, I was getting smashed. Yes. And you sort of got to have balls to the wall, don't you, when you're down there and make it everything. Yeah. So,
for that elimination, like, the pole wrestle elimination, if you did have to go into the elimination, because you and
I love
Zara,
you, Davon, you're a messy friend.
Because you and Zara couldn't come on an agreement, right?
Yeah.
Who would you have wanted to compete against?
In the pole wrestle?
Yes.
Oh, come on, mate. Who do you reckon? Say his name.
Are we back to Johnny name. Again?
Yeah, put the bananas fella in there. We'll show the young boy how he does it.
I love how
there was some beef fella. There. I can't wait to find out what that beef was. There was some beef brewing.
Oh, like, there's nothing face to face, but I know he's going behind my back and stitching me up, that prick. So, I know he was
stitching you up.
So,
well.
But yeah, look, the pole wrestle's a hard one. Like, that would have been, mm-hmm. if anyone who's been in that one, like, respects that, that's a gnarly.
I was in it.
Gnarly elimination.
Me too.
You know?
Me too.
Yeah. Okay, so give us a taste of what we can expect from the rest of the season from you without
no
any spoilers,
though.
Tell us what we can expect. And the other Australians, like, because you guys seem like a mighty force to be reckoned with. So tell us about it.
Well, what you guys can expect, mate, it's crazy. Like, firstly, the challenges are unreal. The way that we've done all our challenges, absolutely phenomenal. Like, it's just the way that they designed the sets were crazy. You know, with a lot of lock and horns, people blew in. Like, everyone's arguing. There's lots of drama and fights, that's for sure. No one can agree to anything. you think we'd be a happy family, but we're not.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Definitely not. Like, yeah. And then, look, imagine putting four people from different countries all together. Do you think we're all going to get along? Not for shit.
No.
Not for shit. It's crazy. So, yeah, you just got to wait and see. It's going to be, I reckon, one of the best challenges coming to date.
Wow. Well, until that happens, until we get to see what Sir Grant Crap has to offer
Sir
us on the challenge.
Sir.
We need to know.
Sir Grant Crap, thank you. I'll take that one.
We need to know what your socials are, even though I just started following you.
Oh, let me go follow Grant.
Yeah. I'm
we may not get followed back.
Yeah, Instagram. Just follow me on my Instagram. That's really the thing I use. I'm not that active, as you can imagine. I'm pretty full on with, like, trying to be a family man and all that. I post things here and there.
So we can find you on Instagram at
Grant_Crap. I might actually change it to Sir Grant Crap since I've now been announced. No, at all. Yeah, Grant_Crap. And yeah, just give us a follow. Look, I'm excited to see how this challenge goes. And for the rest of it, it's, that's going to be good.
Thank you for coming.
Well, thank you for coming on here. I know you have a busy home life and it's really early over there, but I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for kicking off this season.
Our first
interview.
We
are so excited to watch it.
Yeah, nice. Hopefully it was good.
Yeah, you're great.
I think you got plenty of content there.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited about this.
Yeah.
I hope everyone that comes on here from, like, the MVP section, like,
so
all
open.
Of the new kids, just saying. Yeah, look, and that's just like, because it really makes it so wonderful.
Yeah, it's just me being honest. Like, it's just, I think you should find that with most Australians. I hope that they should just voice what they think, because at the end of the day, it's just what you think. You know, you don't have to be putting shit on and be fake. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I look forward to interviewing your whole squad.
Yes. Yeah, you'll love it. We're going to let you get back to your beautiful wife and your amazing babies.
Thank you.
Babies.
I'm actually on my way. I'm actually heading to my best mate's wedding tomorrow. So I'm going to get lit.
Okay. Well, enjoy that.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye, ladies.
Bye,
man. Nice to meet you.
Ta-da.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
That was such a great interview with Sir Crap, Mr. Grant. That was amazing. I'm so glad that he was able to take time out of his day and hanging out with his ankle biters.
Thank you for following me back, you and the ankle biters. I really appreciate it. Shout out to Grant. That was definitely fun. Oh, speaking of Instagram, Davon, where could they follow you?
Over there on Instagram, you can follow me at Davon Diane, or you can find me on Twitter at @DayDavon_. Anissa, where can the people find you at?
Only on Instagram at AnissaMTV. That's where I am. That's where I reside.
So if you like this episode, please make sure you rate, review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and tell a friend.
Yes, and then after you do that, you can catch new episodes of The Challenge World Championship Wednesday on Paramount Plus.
Yes, and we'll see you back here next week for a brand new episode of MTV's official Challenge podcast. The best podcast.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.